Alex Ferrara, and I'm taking a deep dive into the world of beauty and women's health. I'm asking all the questions and trying every product and trend so you don't have to. Get ready for a little glam and a lot of info. This is Glow Up and Speak Out. Today, I'm sitting down with Julie Fotis. She's a certified integrative health coach. She is a certified holistic fertility, pregnancy, and labor doula. Her goal is to advocate for holistic healing for women struggling with any fertility or postpartum issues. She continues to help women facilitate a new way of healing and help them truly connect to their mind, body, and soul. Please welcome Julie. So Julie, you grew up in Paris, so I need to know what it was like.
Okay, so I grew up in Versailles, and it was really cool because as a kid, so Versailles is very culture-oriented around music and, you know, like classical music, and also the castle, right? There's this like very famous castle in Versailles that used to be for Louis the 14th. My mom is also a piano teacher. I played harp at age 7. Like, I grew up in this kind of like French classical culture environment. And as a teenager, I would go to Paris by train. It would take me like 25 minutes to get into the center of Paris. And that would be for mostly shopping. And then when I was in my 20s, I actually moved to Paris. And it's a romantic lifestyle. Like you always like find yourself daydreaming, looking at the architecture of all these buildings, the sand, the boats. It was, you know, it's lovely. Like I really loved going, like living in Paris. I love living in Versailles as well. I thought that Paris was much cooler than Versailles, obviously, because like Versailles was so like kind of aristocrat kind of vibe, you know, it's a little too much, especially when you become a teenager. And then Paris was like, yes, like life everywhere, Montmartre, Moulin Rouge, kind of like all this vibe, you know, of partying and being wherever you want, very artistic. So I loved it.
Okay. The other thing American women are obsessed with is French girl beauty, because I feel like French women have a more minimalist, sort of natural approach. So what is kind of the beauty makeup routine of a French woman?
So of course a serum. So we start with a little serum and then day cream around the face and neck. We are really into also putting cream on our chest. Like this is like something we know that like is very thin and we don't want wrinkles here. So like we moisturize a lot. We love to do our nails ourselves. So we learn to do our nails ourselves like very early. And that's something we do in between friends, you know, like in parties, we'll do our nails. And I feel like it's a lot about the fashion too. Like yeah. We love heels. We love to feel sexy, but still casual. Like it's kind of like, you know, but I see that in New York City though, but I feel like in France, it's always like, even when it's cold, it's always like these long dresses and pretty light material and lipstick. Women, French women love a little lipstick, a little mascara, like very light shades on the high lid and a little bit on the cheeks, but it has to look natural. Like Frenchman wants to look super natural.
Yes, that's exactly what I noticed. And I love that. And I do feel like European women, French women, and New York City women, I do feel like there's a little bit of a similarity because it's not the like contour, fake eyelashes, fake extensions. There's no sort of like fake nail. You know, it's just, it's you, but highlighted with like a lip, a brow, mascara, something like that.
Absolutely. Yeah. There's like a pride, actually. There's like a real pride of looking natural.
Yeah. Okay. The other thing I'm so interested in is the eating habits, the differences between French women and American women, because I feel like in America, we get very unbalanced. We get very like we're on this diet, we're off, we're doing keto, we're doing intermittent fasting, we're doing no carb, we're doing, but I feel like my impression of French women, and when I was there in my early 20s, is it's kind of more real food and everything in moderation. So I'm just so interested in what was a typical day when you were a young woman in your 20s in Paris of eating?
I mean, you're right. It's really about the moderation. We always want some greens. We always want fiber somewhere in our plates. We love bread. Like, we're not going to like stop ourselves from carbs. Like, we love carbs, but we're always going to find ourselves having a salad or soup or, you know, it's always going to be super balanced. Like, it's never going to be like just light diet or carb diet. It's going to always be a mix of everything. Also, I feel like we're really listening to what we crave. So like following that, I feel like is really helping us to like keep kind of like a fine shape or just like feeling just good about ourselves. Working out is not really a thing for French women.
This is so interesting. You have to explain this. What is it? Is it the New York City thing of like you're just walking everywhere? Like, what do people do?
Okay, I think it is a lot of walking everywhere in Paris, for sure. There's a lot of walking heels. And that actually, like, really, it's going to be a workout for your thighs.
It definitely is.
And there's also a lot of sex. And, like, I don't want to seem cliche about
this. No, please.
But, like, if you practice a lot of sex in your life, like, especially if you, like, really want to have this orgasm and whatever, you have to contract your body. And I feel like a lot of women benefit from that because, I feel like in our 30s, now that all my friends are there in 30s, I also know a lot of women in their 40s, there's going to be, like, Pilates or yoga or so swimming.
More low impact.
Low impact.
Yeah, you're not going to see a Barry's boot camp or like a CrossFit in Paris.
No, not like most women would not do that in France.
No.
For sure. Yeah.
No. And what about drinking? Because we always see French women with a glass of wine like at lunch and at dinner. And how do you guys drink so much wine but still you're so healthy?
It's kind of a myth.
So, okay.
There's a lot of drinking, but actually it doesn't happen every day at all. During the week, like women not going to have a glass of wine at lunch, or it's going to be one to have a little fun. But it's always about like, really, it's about social. It's about being social. And I feel like that takes away some kind of like guilt that actually can make you gain weight. And I guess we'll go into that since this is like kind of a holistic aspect of seeing health and beauty. But it's really about like, we don't see the glass of wine as like counting calories. It's more like being social. So we don't really realize, and we drink a lot of water. So I feel like, you know, like during the week as a normal, like I remember even back in the day when I was working in finance, I would never drink a glass of wine during the week at lunch, never. And if I was drinking in the evening, it would not be too much. And like, if it was too much, I feel like the next day would be like a big day of like just drinking water, like going into like doing a bath. Like French women love baths, love to relax. So I feel like all this mindset of relaxation, of living the good, of like enjoying every moment, being in the present, really helps French women to feel just in shape and good about themselves.
Yeah, and you're not living in extremes, it sounds. It's not like you get to Friday and you're like pounding six shots to like forget about your week. It's like a fun, relaxing. And it's so interesting that you said you don't even think about it as a glass of calories.
I heard that a lot in New York. We're like, oh, I'm going to have a glass of wine instead of dessert. I'm like, I don't understand the link between the two. And my friend was like, well, the calories. Like, I would rather have the calories of a glass of wine than a dessert. And in my head, I'm like, but like a glass of wine goes so well with a chocolate cake. Like, you know, I feel like for us, it's more of like a mixture of pleasure going together.
Yes, that's so interesting. We American women just really need a little bit more of the French women mindset, the minimalist beauty, the everything in moderation. We need a little more of that.
The peace of mind.
Yes.
Enjoying life.
A little more peace of mind. I'm also so interested in the differences between the healthcare system in Europe versus here in America. You have lived a lot of years in both places. So just, I'm sure there's a million things you can think of, but what are a few things that stick out to you as major differences or major things that surprised you or shocked you about the healthcare system when you moved here?
Oh my gosh. Okay. So for me to go to see my regular doctor in Paris, it's going to be 35 euros. And then if I have to do blood work or doing it, or even like get medication, it's going to be taken care of by the healthcare system, like right away. Same for like surgery and things like that. When I go to a primary doctor here, it's like $150 to $200. Dentists? Oh my God, dentists? Like, I would never go to dentist here. I'm going to dentist in Paris. It's like three times less the cost. It's insane. This healthcare system with dentists and all these like specialists that are not included in the healthcare system, that is so shocking to me. Also, when we, so I have two babies, right? But I had them in New York. And my friends were having babies at the same time in Paris. So I was really good to like make the difference. So like, for example, a sonogram, I chose a private midwife. And so the sonogram at the hospital was like basically $350 out of pocket for me, $350. And then what was so shocking for me, where like in France, you don't even pay for it, right? It's like, it's included in the healthcare system. For giving birth in France, you pay like, you have like some kind of out of pocket, but never going to be more than 200 euros. Just the hospital room in New York was 700. It's like, what? Yeah. For me, like, listen, this topic for me is like a real mind blown one. Also in France, you have 6 weeks of perineal and PT included in your health system, in your healthcare system. So it's not even a question that you're doing perineum PT after birth. And so when I was approaching my due date for my first baby, I was like, so what's the PT program here? And like, what are you talking about? I'm like, well, the perineal PT, you know, like to get my perineum.
Your pelvic here. Floor and your you know, maybe floor. The diastasis recti and all these things.
I have a guy now. Yes. That stuff to get
right.
Out again. Or like in shape, right? And they were like, well, you're going to have to like find a provider for this. And I did. And it was like $350 a session. It was so expensive, completely out of pocket. She was great. I'm not saying that the service was not good, but like compared to France, it's insane to think that they don't, in the United States, they don't help women cover cost of a major body anatomy shift that happened with birth. Like, we are bringing human to your country. The minimum you could do is help us get back in shape. Like, it's not normal to arrive in your 40s and just cough and sneeze and pee yourself and be like, oh yeah, that's because I gave birth. No, absolutely not. Like, French women, like, they always been, even my mom generation have that. Like, it's always been something that we just know about.
Even your mom's generation.
My mom's generation had it. Yes, it's been on for so many years.
Wow.
So I'm still shocked that United States in 2023 don't have that.
No, we don't. And not only is it not covered usually, but it's hard to find and no one
very
brings
hard
it up.
To find.
Your
yes.
Obese people don't bring it up. So women sometimes don't even know it's an option. And on top of that, my generation are the first where I'm even hearing that it's a conversation of maybe I should do pelvic floor PT or maybe I should. Oh my gosh, my mother's generation, they've never even heard of it.
Right. I'm actually adding this in my doula service now.
That's so great. Okay, so now this is exactly what I want to get into. You're certified holistic fertility and pregnancy doula.
Yeah.
Okay, so what, so on the fertility side, what do you do as a fertility doula?
Okay, so on the fertility side, it's about a woman who's like, she knows she wants to have a baby, right? So like the intention is here. She wants to prepare her body. So we talk a lot about memories and things that she has been going through on, in her life, and she doesn't want to give to her baby because, you know, we talk about genetics and memories that go through the blood and DNA and all this intergenerational trauma that sometimes is going through your own system because you're in the same bloodline. So in the fertility concept, we work on these memories and we work on everything that she's ready to release first and the intention she wants to bring in when she is going to actually get pregnant. And also we work on the body, like herbs and blood type diet and, you know, kind of like things that she can do for herself to be the most prepared to welcome life in her womb space.
And you're talking about like the transgenerational passed down trauma that we pass through our bodies. Like we don't even know it's being passed. Is that what you're saying? Okay.
It's very subconscious. But some women will actually be conscious of it. Some women will recognize some pattern that they have heard or know about from their parents or even grandparents. Like she would see some patterns in her intimate relationship of how she connects with her body or, you know, any kind of phobia or fears that just pop out or, you know, things like that.
It's so interesting. And I've talked to a lot of women where issues come up during their pregnancy. And yeah. I think this is exactly what you're talking about. It's like, okay, maybe I didn't notice this pattern before, but I'm noticing it now and I want to deal with it now so I don't do the same thing in my new family.
And some women also believe that they, it might come up when they become a mother. I have women coming to me as like, my mom went through so much trauma that when I become a mom, I want to make sure I'm not going to be like her, how she was with me. I don't want to be like that with my baby or my child.
Right. They want a clean slate. Breastfeeding is way harder than anyone thinks it is. There can be so many unforeseen complications like mastitis, trouble latching, low supply. And at the end of the day, you have to feed your baby no matter what is going on. So for me, my baby latched really easily, but my milk never really came in. It just was not happening, and we absolutely had to switch to formula. We didn't really have a choice. So the formula that we chose is called Bobby, which was approved by our pediatrician, and my son is thriving on it. I love Bobby because it's an FDA-regulated European-style formula that's modeled after breast milk. It has iron, it has DHA, and it's made from organic milk from grass-fed cows and without any extra fillers like corn syrup or palm oil. My plan was to breastfeed, but as we all know, especially if you're a mom, a lot of times plans do not work out. And I am so happy and so grateful that there is a formula option that I feel good about and that I trust. To shop Bobby for your family, scroll down to the bottom of the show notes for this episode and click that link so that they know I sent you. Okay, so I want to take it back a little bit because you went through a personal experience with fertility where you dealt with PCOS and you were able to heal that. Can you tell us all about what you were experiencing in PCOS and how you kind of reversed it?
Absolutely. So let's talk about also the fact that every physical disease or condition have an emotional meaning behind them. Right.
I totally believe that. I feel like there's a medical reason and an emotional, spiritual reason. It's always both things.
Yes, it's very linked. It actually really impacts beauty also. And I'm going to go a little deeper on that. So my PCOS condition, PCOS is when you have cysts all around your ovary and basically your egg can be exposed because of this cyst, kind of like creating a barrier for your egg to come out. So what it means in a more emotional, spiritual level, it means that I'm not sure I can grow. I'm not sure I can come out of my state of now. I'm not sure I'm ready to evolve. And that, and it's kind of like a protective energy for not moving forward to being stuck in some kind of identity. So when I was experiencing my PCOS for myself, it was not because of my diet. It was because I was protecting myself from moving of my identity, because I had very serious trauma in my childhood with my father, especially. And there was just like a lot of violence when I grew up, like lots of things that were just like making me scared. And I was kind of like still being embodying this little girl that kind of like just wanted to stay in her comfort zone. So interesting. So when that came up, my mom is a holistic healer as well. She does numerology, tarot reading. She's always done that. Like I grew up with that as well. So when I was struggling to get pregnant, she was like, okay, like we need to work on the memories that are holding you back from evolving.
And you came to this because you did it. What you said, it wasn't because of your diet. So you did get checked out. You went to the doctor and they were told, did they say, oh, there's not much we can do? Like, what did they say to you?
They were telling me, they told me that there was so much cyst. It was such a severe PCOS condition. I did not ovulate for 2 years. And oh yeah, they were like, and this is not your diet. I'm petite. I'm already like eating clean. And I was also working out. I was in a great shape physically. Right. So they were like, this is just pathology condition. They can't explain. It's like, right. These like thing that they just don't know why, but they were telling me like, you're going to need treatment. You're going to need like hormonal support to kind of like get engaged the ovulation process. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I did not want that. Mm-hmm. It was a voice in me. And I think it's because also my mom was such a holistic practitioner that I was like, no, no way. Like I can't, there's something else, right? So she put me into a contact with a woman that was doing Akashic Records reprogramming.
Okay.
So the Akashic Records are basically just records, the records. Akasha means it's kind of like the fifth element. So, you know, we have the four elements, water, fire, earth, air. And then like in the middle, this creation, which is from this four element, which is the fifth element. So the fifth element is basically everything you see. It's like it's what comes to life, what exists. And so Akashic Records are memories that have built you, that have built this life that you are experiencing now. So going into these records will give you the root of some kind of stuck energy or blockages or toxic pattern and that you want to break through. So you get into the root of that story. So you get on, you understand also why you're experiencing that, right? So for me, going back into the trauma in this lifetime, from my childhood, but I also went through, why did that happen in this childhood? Why did I choose to have this experience in this lifetime? So it goes pretty deep into also believing in past lives and reincarnation.
Right. So these are memories that you don't necessarily, you're not thinking about them every day, but like they're there somewhere in the back of your head, like real things that happen in your childhood. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. You're okay. Not, somehow you're not really aware of it.
Okay.
And it's kind of like, it's subconscious and it's not just in the back of your head. It's actually in your heart. It's in your throat. It's in your belly. It's in your legs. It's everywhere you can experience some kind of pain or cramps or things like that. That's where it lives. That's in your DNA. It's everywhere within you.
Okay. So it also sounds like you definitely need a guide to go back, because it could be really heavy. It could be really upsetting. This sounds like you need a professional to do this exercise.
You do need a professional to do this exercise. So I went to a professional. We did 3 sessions and I decided to ovulate again. And that was
a miracle. That is crazy.
And it was crazy. My OB could not believe it, but I still had cysts, but I ovulated for the first time after 3 sessions.
With no medication, no anything new, just nothing doing, new. Just removing these blocks. Wow.
Consciously. And then I went to an acupuncturist that my mom knew in Paris. So I would work. I was working finance in New York. I would take a flight on Friday, go do 5 hours of acupuncture on Saturday in Paris, and come back in New York on Sunday. This is like how dedicated I was to like heal myself and like just working with people I trusted, because I was so defensive at the time. It's so isolating. When you can get pregnant, nobody understands you. Like, it's very hard to talk about. Anyway, so I needed like trustworthy person. So I would go to Paris for this. And I did like, I would go every month or every 2 months to go see her. And I would continue on working on my own self, getting to know me, getting to know my triggers, getting to know my emotions. And in within 9 months, I got pregnant naturally.
That's incredible.
And I did not have any more cysts ever. And since then, my second baby came in 1 week. And since then, I have perfectly monthly cycle. I'm so grateful. Like when you go through like such a hardcore condition, so stuck, you feel like you're not even a woman. Like you feel like you're not even working. I'm not bleeding. I don't have cycle. To like now, I know exactly when I'm gonna get my period. It's not even bad cramps anymore. Like it's very impressive.
This is such a cool story. And you are the perfect person to be coaching women through fertility issues because you've been through it yourself. And like you said, a lot of women hit these roadblocks where the doctors don't know what to do anymore.
Yes.
There's nothing else they can try. There's nothing else they can tell you. So, so I understand that if you've tried all of the medical, you know, things and you've talked to all the professionals, it's like, okay, we have to also look at the mind-body connection here.
Yes, exactly. And like finding someone who actually has compassion for you, because that's also very difficult. When you talk to a doctor, they don't have compassion. And my OBGYN is amazing. And he was just telling me, I don't have time for compassion. I can't do the high touch. I'm the high tech. I can do the high touch. I need someone to do the high touch. And in somehow, you know, I understand him. Like, mm-hmm. You know, like it's good to just build this bridge between science and spirituality. Like, why not? Let's just bring it back together. There's nothing wrong with that. It's actually such a relief when we do, you know.
It's never just one thing. It's always the mind-body connection, your diet, your lifestyle, and then also maybe someone needs medication. It's a Western medicine plus the spiritual. It's always a lot of things at once. So I like what you said, building the bridge between the spiritual connection and the medical community.
Yeah. Then I quit finance, right?
Right.
I was like, women need to know about this. So I went back to France to the woman that helped me doing the Akashic Records reprogramming. She was doing seminars to teach what she does, because we can all do that. I mean, you have to have some kind of desire to do it, obviously, and you have to believe in it. But once you do, so I trained with her during 2 whole weekends. My baby was being babysitted. Like, I had my baby already when I did it. And then I came back to New York and I started to work as a health coach. So when I quit my job and I was pregnant, I was like, oh my gosh, like my whole vision of life is so different. Like I want to make an impact, like a real impact in women's life. So I became a health coach in fertility diet. And then I would attract a lot of women who couldn't get pregnant. And I didn't dare for a few months to like get into the Akashic Records, because it's such a spiritual...
It's heavy. It can be very intense.
It's intense. And like a lot of women are not sure. They want to go that deep. But I just like, I remember this woman. She came to a session with me in tears. It's been 3 months we're working on the diet and everything. And she's still like, she was like finally telling me like, it's been 2 years that I'm trying to get pregnant and still not happening. And I felt that calling. I was like, you know what? We're going to try this. So I explained to her what was the Akashic Record reprogramming, and it's best. So I did what I learned, which is kind of like we start as a guided meditation. It's no hypnosis at all. It's really just like we are tuning inward So we are tuning inward, and I start feeling her. And I start like really feeling her and her energy and her body. And then I went in, I had this vision of that story that was within her. So that's also the first time I knew how I could really, that's how I can channel. I have the vision of a story, and like everything just flow. Like I'm saying everything to her, like as much as I talk, like everything just like the whole story is unfolding. And then I can see like the reprogramming coming in, and we change the story, and we do some kind of reconnection. We work with love. We work around all the body. And lots of release, of course, after that session. And then 6 weeks later, she has a positive pregnancy test.
That is incredible. These stories are incredible.
That was 5 years ago. And since then, I never stopped. You can imagine, she talked about me to all of her friends.
Of course.
I started to have like so many women coming to me to get pregnant. And every time within 3 months, this woman would get pregnant naturally.
It's just so cool. And it just seems like this is something you're meant to do. So when you're coaching women through some fertility diet recommendations, what are some, I'm sure everyone's different, but what are some things, some foods that you like them to add in?
So I'm a big believer in the blood type diet.
Interesting.
Some food for your blood type can be great and can be pretty bad for other blood type diet. I really study that. I really love it. But I do also believe in food that are really good for some organs, such as the uterus, or the brain, or the heart, or whatever, you know, the woman is going through. So that's going to be very bio individual. But there's a lot of things to work on the diet. If she's not pregnant, we usually start with the elimination diet. So like we can introduce then a few food here and there and see how the body reacts, you know, how she feels about it, how the digestion is going. So it's a lot of experiment at first. And then when she becomes pregnant, that's a different story, right? Like we really listen to what the body wants. We really, really listen to the craving, and I help them going through that.
When I first met you at an event, I was at the point I was balancing my hormones, and you told me I needed pomegranate seeds, and I didn't. You just like looked at me and you knew I needed pomegranate seeds, and it was so insane because I had been wanting pomegranate seeds. Like you like read my mind.
Exactly. This is what like this intuitive essence of mine is really getting me through. I can just like, I feel it. And some it's going to be avocado, some it's going to be blueberries, some it's going to be broccoli. It really depends, but it's so fascinating because of course, like when they try it, which I love because sometimes you go to a practitioner and they give you all these recommendations. It's like, ugh, it's a burden. You don't want to do all of it. It feels heavy. You're tired. It feels like a pressure. Just adding a few, pomegranate, some walnut, some like, you know, little things like that, that can be easy and like you actually enjoy.
The blood type diet makes so much sense because not everyone can be a vegetarian. Not everyone can withstand eating red meat. Some people feel really bloated after they eat beans. We all have something. Some people can't handle dairy, or some people have a tomato mozzarella salad. They feel amazing. So that really does make sense.
It really does make sense, but nobody talks about it. Like you hear about the paleo diet, the vegan diet, all of these diets. But like, hey, everyone has a different blood type. Yeah. And it makes so much sense. My second baby has eczema. And he's a type A, and I've been following the type A for him to like heal his eczema, and it's working amazing.
Really?
Let me talk to you about beauty and actual diet, like blood type diet.
Of course. I've been learning so much about how eczema and skin conditions, it's really all about your diet and exactly what you said. You know, some people think it's candida or the blood type diet or an allergy, but it's really, it's less like being irritated from something on the outside and more about what's going on the inside, for sure.
Absolutely.
So when you are working as a pregnancy doula, what are you working with women on to prepare for labor? And you don't, you're not working with them during labor, right? You're working with them leading up.
Actually, I just got my certification.
And,
I'm a birth doula in New York City now.
Oh, so my God.
Yes. And I might even have someone right now. And the due date is in April. I'm so excited.
Exciting. Yes. Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, no, so you're right though. Like until I met you, I was not doing birth doula because I didn't have the training for it, but I just did it. I just completed it actually. Because my passion just is becoming stronger and stronger. I want to be there every step of the way. So what I do during pregnancy is a lot of meditation, and it's really helping women to find that trust that their body is made to grow a human being, to give birth. And so to really feel at ease with the whole process of giving birth, the whole process of becoming a mother. So we do a lot of like very grounding, calming meditation. Also, I love to work with flowers and especially roses and oil and scent, like kind of like everything that can stimulate your senses. So for my pregnant women, I've always done that for the past 5 years. I carry them with a flower, usually a rose. I put petals all around their belly, all around their body, and we mask the fingertips. We kind of like do some kind of like massage around the hair. I also tell them to touch themselves. So it's very interesting how this is divine beauty that you can accelerate with light touch and light massage around the jaw, because the jaw like really hold a lot of frustration.
And it holds so much tension.
It holds so much. So just like really massaging the jaw and the chin. The chin is actually the symbol of the uterus for the woman. So
Wait. What does that mean?
So like, you know, it's like a map. You know how you have the whole body map in your ear? This is like...
No, I don't. I don't. You have to explain this.
Okay. So basically your whole head...
Okay.
Is a map and receptors magic center for your whole body, for beauty and for well-being. So if you work with a Chinese acupuncturist,
they will tell you. I do know this as related to acupuncture, and this is why they look at your tongue, and this is why
your ear.
Got it. Okay.
In your ear, it's a whole map of your whole body system. And your face has the same, it has like point of acupressure to kind of release actually past trauma, any kind of programming, toxic patterns. It's like you can release them from acupressure points on your face. And you can also, like, for example, if you're you have a lot of cramp, you can like really release some cramps like massaging your chin, because the chin is the point of that relates to your uterus. Everything's connected. Yeah.
Everything. So if we have cramps, which so many women do, you can massage your chin. Yes. And it might help.
Yes, absolutely.
That's you can crazy.
Massage your belly as well. But the chin is a big reliever of like tension in the uterus. And so... Yeah. So like during pregnancy, I really always encourage the woman to like bring some light touch around the face, because it does release stress and weight all over the body. So like you can release a lot by just doing that.
Have you heard of face gym?
No.
Okay. So it's like it's not a facial. It's a facial massage that they do with different tools. And I went and my jaw had never felt better. And my throat, everything just felt amazing.
Exactly. So like during pregnancy, we do a lot of like releasing tension, really bringing trust, feeling grounded, feeling supported, feeling seen. So there's a lot of position that we talk about, breath work, connection. We also talk about playlists and how to make the room you're going to birth in a sacred space. So this is very important for me, like in a hospital room. And I actually really learned that also in my course that I just took. You can absolutely bring your playlist with a speaker. You can bring LED candles. You can bring so much stuff that are like very personal to you, that when you give birth, even in the hospital, you look around and you feel at home, or you feel like, okay, like these are all my little safe things that makes me feel good, and it's here, you know. The way you can also bond with partner as contraction comes and goes. Like, so we work a lot on that as well. This is the most transformative event for women. And something I like to say a lot is every woman remember her birth forever. You live with it. Mm-hmm. So it's really about bringing that confidence and an empowerment into the birth process, because it is. This is a moment where you're like, I am fucking powerful. You know, this is the vibe that I really want to bring in every pregnant woman, is right. You are so powerful. Not only you made a whole human, you made bones and organs within your own womb.
And your first birth, you had an epidural. Right?
I had an epidural at 6 centimeters because okay. I did not have a doula. I was not prepared as much, and a nurse really scared me, which happens a lot in the hospital room, especially when it's your first baby and you don't have a doula, you don't have someone who's like, no, you're good, because the nurses and the doctors are trained, again, like I don't even blame them. They are trained to think disaster, to think emergency, to think problem. This is how they're being trained. The doula, a midwife in my course told us that in obstetrician schools, they don't attend, they don't really talk about natural birth at all. It's all about hear the list of the complication and hear what you need to do. They don't even attend a natural birth. And that's something important to have in mind when you go to an hospital. The nurse and the doctor there are not pro-natural birth. They don't even know what it is. They don't really believe in it. They only
I don't
see
think problems. Anyone knows. People don't know that. Like I learned that recently, but I would never have thought that certain OBs and nurses had never even seen a natural birth before.
Insane. So I was like, give me the epidural. But I did ask for the minimum dose, which also I feel like women should know. You can ask what dose you want. So yeah, no, it's very important. See, like we just don't know what question we can ask.
I didn't know you could ask for a dose.
So you can ask for the minimum dose. And it was actually amazing for me because I was in labor for, I think, at least 12 hours by then. So I was also tired because it really happened all night long. So I wasn't sleeping all night. And when they give me the epidural, it must have been like 11 a.m. something. And I just slept. I slept for 4 hours. And I was very relaxed because I knew also it was a very small dose. So I was okay with it. And when I woke up, I was at 10 centimeters and it was time to push. And I was feeling the contraction again because the epidural was like kind of like done in my womb space, not in my legs now. Like I felt it in my legs for maybe an hour later after birth. Because it's okay. Like it numb your legs as well. Like you basically numb your womb to your feet. Mm-hmm. So a lot of women really are so pissed about this because they're not aware. Like they're not going to tell you when they put the epidural, like how it's going to impact also your legs. Mm-hmm. And like, come on, just tell me I want to be prepared. Like it's so shocking when you give birth to your baby and like, wait a minute, I don't really feel my legs. And they're like, oh yeah, that's the epidural. But like, maybe I should be aware of this. You know?
Right, because like for them it's just a normal Tuesday, but for you it's your first time going through this ever.
It's the most massive event of your life. So anyway, I did push my baby out in like 30 minutes, and baby came out. I was aware of the delayed cord clamping. There's a third of baby's blood in the baby's cord.
I was just learning about this. Even if it's for a minute, I was told it can be really helpful.
Yes, for all of the blood. So you see, until the cord, because the cord is pulsing. So until the cord is pulsing, that means that blood flow is coming into your baby and he needs it. So right. That, see, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, there's like so much to know.
We don't learn. And this is why I recommend a doula too, because it's the person Absolutely. To ask all these questions to leading up, because the OB doesn't have time. It's not her job. Sometimes they have 10 minutes with you. It's really the technical medical issues, measuring the baby, the anatomy scans, the blood work, the end. They literally, and like you said, you don't blame them. Okay. The last thing I want to ask you is you do women's circles. You lead women's circles.
Yeah.
And circling has been a thing. It's been very trendy recently. Like Jennifer Aniston is saying she's attending these women's circles.
Really? Okay.
Yes. Yes. So what are the benefits of these women's circles? What are we getting out of them? What do they entail?
So a women's circle is finally a space and time that you give to yourself with other like-minded women, where you just feel like, oh, I'm not alone in like that need of finding back my true essence, of connecting with being intuitive and being grounded and just like really tapping into my body. So women's circle are going to have theme that you're going to resonate with. I always do a different theme. Sometimes I have a yoga teacher with me. Sometimes I have an osteopath. We kind of like set an intention and everybody met each other. And it feels like just good to see that you're not the only one having like this need of pausing time and just, you know, getting to just breathe and going more inward and feeling yourself. And then we lead some kind of sun bath or meditation. And I invite every woman to write something they're ready to release and we burn it. And let me tell you, I don't know one woman that doesn't really love this.
I was literally just thinking, I want to do that so bad. It's we all so bad. Have stuff we want to release.
Oh, yeah. I also do Bastroid Party now, Women's Circle for Bastroid Party. For baby shower, for birthdays. Like, it's amazing. Like, all these women give me this idea. Like, so that sometimes we have champagne, you know? Like, it's nice.
It's That's so fun. I would love to arrive at a bachelorette and see you there leading a women's circle and have us all burning stuff that we don't want to release.
That is the bachelorette. It's so fun. We talk about sex toys and, you know, like we're drinking a little champagne and like we go and wine into our heart space. It's just like it's so fun and it's so liberating.
Sounds amazing. So, Julie, I want to ask you some fun questions before I let you go. And the first one is, do you have a beauty product that you literally can't live without, a fave?
Yes. So as a French person, my favorite French brand is called Carita, Carita. And I'm obsessed with them. You cannot find them in Sephora or in your usual. You have to like order from the Maison Carita. And it's delightful. It is expensive, but it's so worth it. I had so much wrinkles from the pandemic when I was 24/7 with my two boys under 2 years old. And that cream saved me. I mean, like, and now I go every year, I go to Paris and I go to their spa and I get a facial from them with all the product line. And also they have a face scrub with actual obsidian crystal in it.
What?
I'm obsessed.
I want this. Well, it's obviously working because you look so glowy and gorgeous and so beautiful. If someone wants to learn more about the spiritual mind-body side of fertility, is there a book or resource that you can recommend?
Yeah. I mean, so for natural birth or just like also releasing stagnant energy in the body, there's a midwife called Anne Margoli, and she wrote an amazing book on how to really get into your body to prepare for pregnancy and natural birth and working on this emotional energy, you know, patterns that you can just release for the body. She's amazing.
We can look her up, Anne Margoli. Do you have a favorite or best advice you've ever received?
Yes. Never accept advice from someone's life that's not inspiring to you.
That is such a good one.
Because it's so easy, especially motherhood, like so many women are going to want to give you advice. But just like every time you receive an advice for me, it's like, take a step back, look at the life of that person. And if there's like, if it does not inspire you, like, do not even pay attention to that advice.
Is there anything you'd like to speak out about or bring awareness to or highlight for our listeners?
I really want to highlight the fact that motherhood is the most sacred journey of all. And this is when we need the most support from our family and our friends, and really dive into this new power of being a mother as much as being a woman, and asking for support and really taking care of that new identity and taking your time to reflect and never, ever judge whatever happened, whether it's in the pregnancy, whether it's at birth, whether it's like in postpartum. You know, there's so much hormonal disruption in your body that your mood is going to change a lot. And that needs to be acknowledged internationally as like, yes, women has moods. Women are on a holistic cycle. It's never going to be the same. We are magnetic and we deserve to be seen as such.
Julie, thank you so much. You have so much wisdom. You're so interesting. If someone wants to work with you or follow you, where can we find you?
So I am on Instagram, Julie-Fotis. And I'm always like pretty good at like, you know, just chatting on DMs. Always happy to chat, even if you have some questions. And then I also have my website, Intuitive Womanhood, where I explain all my offer there, my Intuitive Woman program, but also all the preconception, which I call the sacred preconception or the holistic pregnancy. And now offering in-person birth doula service in New York. And I am so excited for that.
I'm so excited for you. Thank you so much. This was so much fun.
You're amazing. I love you. I love your energy. I wish you all the best in your own motherhood journey.
You're so sweet. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for listening to Glow Up and Speak Out. If you liked this episode, it would mean so much if you could follow, rate, and review the show on Apple or Spotify. And for more content, make sure to check out our Instagram at Glow Up and Speak Out.